This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Comedy is completely subjective. What makes one audience laugh out loud could be just crickets another night. But the fear of bombing in front of an auditorium of strangers has not stopped the contestants of the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival's Carolina's Funniest Comic Contest. Comedians from all over North and South Carolina are participating in a bracket-style contest. It's going to be decided Sunday. Two contestants from North Carolina, two from South Carolina. In the end, one will be named Carolina's Funniest Comic. The finals take place Sunday at DSI Theater in Chapel Hill at 8:30. Joining us to talk about the contest, DSI Comedy's resident instructor on stand-up comedy, Zach Ward. Welcome back, Zach.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
And also with us today to talk about the tournament is one of last year's finalists, Lauren Faber. Hello, Lauren.
Hi.
Good to have you here with us. And Maria Bamford's going to be with us as well. She's sticking around to talk more. Zach, I have to take just a moment now to talk seriously about this just for a second. This has been obviously a very difficult week, a traumatic week for all of us here in the state of North Carolina, particularly in this area in the Triangle, but all over the world. And yet here we are talking about comedy. But comedy, I mean, you've had experience with just this kind of thing.
When you were talking to me earlier, the idea of laughing to forget, and we don't want to forget a tragedy like this, and we don't want to sort of put it out of our mind, but laughter as a vehicle for sort of breaking the seal of conversation. So many things that are tragic, tragedy plus time equals comedy. This is like a well-known formula. And unfortunately, in a situation like this week, we don't have the time, but we do need to start those conversations. And so it sort of makes me think back to two things that happened in my sort of history as a comedian, is that having to do shows after 9/11 and also having to do shows in Cambridge, Massachusetts in 2013 after the marathon bombing. These are just tragic events that when is comedy okay again? Just an interesting question.
Yeah, and you know, there's research. In fact, it was done out of NC State in their communications department. They stumbled. They were doing something else, and they were looking at transcripts in capital murder cases. Mm-hmm. And in those transcripts, they it was completely different research. But what they noticed was at these tense moments, and again, this was now the death penalty phase that the jury was deciding, and they noticed that the word laughter appeared all too frequently in what they thought was this pretty grave discussion.
What should be a somber and serious conversation.
Yeah, and so then they turned it over. And then the psychology department got onto this and looked at the moments in which laughter arose were precisely an impasse. In other words, where conversation came to an end. You talked about starting the conversation. And somebody then could turn the conversation, make a joke, and it opened everybody's mind to a third way the conversation resumed.
Well, the phrase for like crack a joke, right?
Yeah.
These seem like inappropriate times, like when and then he just cracked a joke. Well, he really just, that joke created a crack in the tension, and now any other moments can happen, any other pieces of conversation can happen. I can totally understand and relate to that.
Tell us about this competition now coming up this weekend.
Well, this is our eighth year. This is the second year actually partnering with the Alchemy Comedy Theater in South Carolina. But we've had 49 comics competing, telling their best jokes. And in South Carolina, we had just over 30. And it's really great. It's, you know, as competitions go, it is subjective. But this is one of the most supportive sort of frameworks for comedians to come together. And it's been really exciting to see people do sets back to back that otherwise probably wouldn't be in the same theater on the same night. So it's been really fun, and I'm really excited to see the finals on Sunday.
Well, I guess it's a way for comedians to learn from each other, too. And then if you bring in somebody like Maria Bamford, who has a level of success, that's kind of a great way to bring people together, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's what comedy does, Frank.
Well, comedy brings people together, and that's not funny. You know, we've come to think of you, Zach, as our resident ethnocomicologist.
How do you spell that?
You can be a humorcologist if you want. I don't care. We actually have audio from a couple of the finalists that are going to be representing North Carolina. So let's listen to Chad Cosby talking about his aspiration to get healthier.
Oh, so it's New Year's, and I've been doing something that a lot of people have probably been doing. I've been shopping gym memberships. It's the time of year to do that. It's not really expensive right now, actually. But I've been getting a lot of the gym membership sales pitches. Those guys, that's like a hard pitch. They're like used car salesmen. They'll whip out some crazy to try and get you to buy one. They'll say like, Can't put a price on your health, brother. Do you think you're selling me health right now, dude in a tight shirt? Because it kind of seems like you're selling me limited access to a big room that smells like mildew. And I bought one anyway, but... And I'm in that sort of honeymoon phase of the gym membership where I'm like, yeah, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you know where I'll be, at the gym, you know, pumping it out, you know? That's what I do. I've been changing my whole diet around, too. Guess who's not stress eating tater tots no more? This guy. This guy's not. It's going to be a good year. And I know that, like, fast forward to September, I'm going to be like, I don't care what the contract says. I was told verbally that I could quit anytime I want. Are you going to charge? You going to charge my card? Well, good luck with that, because I'll cancel it. I'm a ghost. You'll never find me.
North Carolina comedian Chad Cosby during his set. They put him in the finals of the Carolina's Funniest Comic Contest.
Hey, Chad.
Well, let me talk to Lauren a second. Lauren Faber, you have competed in this year's competition. You were in last year's as well, right?
No, this is my first year.
This is your first year. So how long have you been doing stand-up?
I started in October, unless you count all the one-sided conversations I've been having my entire life.
you're driving away from the episode where you should have said this, and you just didn't do that. Mm-hmm. They get funnier and funnier the farther away you get. Yeah. So what do you think now? You haven't been doing it a long time, but you've been probably funny all your life, or at least you thought so, right?
Definitely.
People have been telling you all your life mm-hmm, you should be a comedian, mm-hmm. right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you finally take it seriously. Now it becomes a profession. What do you think about now as to what makes a set funny now that it's got to be kind of formal? You got to do it right.
I find that what works for me is sharing really mortifying, just humiliating experiences that I've done to myself. I think people really can kind of laugh maybe about the things that they've experienced and just feel really liberated that they didn't do what I did to embarrass myself. Those seem to be what really would hit the hardest.
Maria, I'm wondering about that. I'm wondering if there's something like so you decide, okay, this is funny. I'm going to tell this thing about myself and it was humiliating.
Yes.
Do you do a kind of editing process? Like there's a first version of that story and maybe it wasn't quite honest enough, and then a second version, and then finally when you get... I mean, this may not be true for you, but you can lie, because it's public radio.
Okay.
You can, you know, some sense of... This happens, we talked to Jeff Polish, who does the Monty here. It's a storytelling series. And Jeff is very clear to his storytellers. He wants them to get deeper and deeper until they finally get to the truth of things. So there's a kind of editing process that goes on in those stories that are not always funny. I just wonder if the same holds true for comedy.
Yeah, I think so. And even if it, like, I mean, there's a, it's that memoir argument of the emotional truth, you know, whether or not the facts are there. It's like, you know, how I felt at the time is the truth, rather than, you know, because I my sister has often noted, Maria, have you ever noticed every joke you tell, you're the victim? And obviously that is not true. You know,
you're not the literal victim. You may have felt that way the whole time.
I might have felt that way, but I am not. I am a winner of a rigged game in some ways.
Well, I think as comedians, we are trying to heighten the circumstances that we're putting out on stage. And so if the truth that we're trying to get the audience to feel, or that we want them to resonate with this story, what details will help them get to that place where we want them to be? And by doing an open mic here, a set here, traveling and doing shows on the road, you sort of refine the details and get to dig deeper and see what hits and what doesn't. So,
and some people genuinely, I mean, when you go out to be entertainment, some people don't want that for comedy. They want, and I'm one of those people. Like sometimes I was like, oh, can I just, want to listen to something, you know, that's just sort of fun, or, you know, it's not about anything dark, you mm-hmm, know? And so, mm-hmm. and I think that's fair enough to choose your own entertainment. But mm-hmm. I loved your story. She had a story from...
Oh, God.
Can I?
Yeah. That's a prompt for a story if I heard one.
Oh, dear. When I was in high school, I was going to Catholic school, and... So it was very difficult to acknowledge the fact that I was clearly just as gay as the day is long. And there was, oh boy, I'm not going to say her full name. There was an upperclassman who I was just obsessed with. And I thought maybe it was just like an okay thing. So I would do oh, just terrifying things like have my friend steal her car keys and like move her car around the parking lot so get all the giggle when she couldn't find her car at the end of the day. Or she really liked blue shock tarts in particular, so I made a pack that was all blue that you couldn't tell had been opened.
Wow. Yeah. First of all, how did you do that?
Oh, it took a really long time. It took like 10 packs. It took hours.
What you want people to do is you want them to resonate with being a stalker, but you're like, oh, I know exactly how you feel. I would never have done that, but I know exactly how you feel.
I mean, yeah, we've all been obsessed. And like, what happens if you actually ask for help or if you go into the hospital, you know, what if people find out that you've been into a mental psych ward? And this is what happens. Woman came up to me when I was in the psych ward and said, I know who you are. I have some friends who, I'm a therapist here, but I have some friends who work at the Comedy Store. So, I'm totally discreet. I would never tell anyone. You know what? I'm wearing a county stamped hospital gown and a pair of electric green socks that are not my own. You tell whoever the heck you want, all is lost. You know, like, and that, you know, like, it doesn't, but
yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's like things that are really, I like that, those sort of stories where it's like, I've done very bizarre things as a human being. And anyways.
Well, what you did for me is you get to the truth of the thing, which is this is really what I'm thinking now. And I get to think what I'm thinking now. I get to have that. But of course, what we expect in the movie ending of that is some profound thing. And in comes the tinkling piano. And then you will give me the words that I will live with for the rest of my life. And we never do that. No. I certainly think get out of my life. You know,
life's a mess.
Is lost. Yeah.
Life is a terrible
coping with
mess.
That. I think you got a lot more. Look, going to Catholic school as that, you got a lot of stories there.
Oh, yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah. My mother hates all of them. All of them. Well, she couldn't get past my haircut when I tried to show her a video. She was like, oh, Lauren, you have to flip your hair. What are you doing? I can't even look at this. Is that what you make yourself look like in public? Oh, I don't know why you're doing this to me.
So then you know, like, there's a correlation between your mom hates it, audiences love it.
Yeah.
So you road test the material on your mom. If she hates it more, then you're good.
When she starts to cry, I know I've really killed it.
Depending on what venue. If you start working on more conservative, you know, if you start doing casinos, you might want to go towards what your mom finds funny, because that can happen.
Have you done that? Done casinos? What is that?
Yes.
What's
that
like for you?
Terribly. People do not want to see what I have brought on offer, and I feel for them. We are all disappointed, and so it does not happen anymore.
Talking about comedy today in the State of Things. My guests are Zach Ward, DSI comedy stand-up instructor. Lauren Faber is with us, a comedian and a stand-up competitor in Carolina's Funniest Comic Contest 2014. Maria Bamford, comedian, is also with us on the State of Things. So you've only been doing this since October. Have you sort of learned anything professionally?
Oh, I think definitely. I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
I think people think comedy is like a natural instinct that can't be taught, but I've taken two classes at DSI, and it really is, it's kind of a science, and it really, you can break down kind of human psychology and how we like to see a pattern satisfied, or how we enjoy being surprised, and how you can build momentum of laughter. I feel like I've gotten a lot out of those courses.
Yeah, Zach, talk about that.
Well, so obviously I teach classes, you labeled me as a stand-up instructor, but we don't teach the jokes to say. We're teaching people how to write more effectively, how to get their point of view out on paper, how to get their perspective out in front of an audience. And so I think one of the things that the classes help are give people the tools to take the risk to get up on stage. That so many people wouldn't get up on stage because they don't know where to start. They just don't know where to start. And so getting actually the opportunity to like write in a positive, supportive environment and get people to say, yeah, that's great. You should tell that. You should tell that to someone. And to refine it, like you said, dig a little deeper, right? And to get some coaching on, hey, you think this is funny. Well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Cool.
Maria, how have things changed for you as a comedian from somebody who has, you know, started out a while ago and is now pretty successful?
Well, I have a lot of false confidence but I think I feel like I'm always you know, learning. I'm not, and I'm sure you know this as an artist, radio personality.
I'm an information performance artist.
Yeah, exactly. You know that there's all you're just trying to or the thing that's most satisfying is try to get better from what I did before in my own mind, you know, and so whether anybody else thinks that's.
But I mean, what if there's a thing that you thought after a performance or a thing that you said, oh, you know, that thing I thought was funny. Nobody ever thinks that's funny. Oh, gotta drop it.
I can fully commit.
Yeah.
Then I hammer it. Then it becomes the album title.
We're going all in, boys.
Maria Bamford's latest album, Laugh, Damn It. We'll be on many of these NPR stations. I want to thank all of you for being on the program today. Zach Ward, DSI comedy resident instructor and ethnocomicologist.
I'm going to take that forever.
Take it. And I'll be an information. I'm Lauren.
It sounds
Faber.
Like the end of the world. It sounds like I'm like.
Would you rather be an ethnohumorologist? We can make that. We can make that. Comicologist is good because it also sounds vaguely subversive.
Great.
In some ways. Mm-hmm. Lauren Faber is a local comedian, soon to be a national comedian, we're sure, and a former finalist for Carolina's Funniest Comic. Maria Bamford, one of America's premier stand-up comedians, is in town, headlining the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival. Thank all of you for being on the program
so much, Frank.
Today.
Thanks, Frank.
The finals of Carolina's Funniest Comic will take place Sunday, DSI Theater, Chapel Hill, 8:30. Details on our website, stateofthings.org. Thanks for listening to the show. Produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Robin Copley's our technical director. Jess Clark, the intern. Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I am your information performance artist, Frank Stachow.